We welcome Pacific correspondent, RNZ Pacific's team leader, Moira Tuilaiba Taylor. Talofa and welcome.
Talofa lava, whakalofa lahi atu.
We begin today again with COVID and in Tahiti, goodness, cases topping big numbers there.
Yeah, so cases now in Tahiti have topped over 5,000, which is pretty incredible considering the population in Tahiti is just over 277,000. So about a fifth of the population now has COVID-19. And that really has started those numbers when they reopened their borders to tourism.
So, as we know, when this thing takes off at speed. What has been the response?
Well, it's been really interesting. I was talking to one of our journalists, and he said initially there were regular updates from the government about the numbers of people in hospital, about the number of COVID cases, but it started to get that information wasn't coming out as quickly. And so it was really difficult, actually, to nail down the number of confirmed cases. 71 people are now in hospital, 18 in intensive care. They were also looking at closing a school because they think that about 38 of the students possibly could have COVID-19. So it's been really scary. I was talking to a friend also who got stuck here when the New Zealand borders closed, who he lived in Papaete, and he said people there were really worried when the government had looked at opening the borders to tourism.
Well, look at this. All but 62 of the now more than 5,100 cases detected after those borders reopened. And what happened also, like mandatory quarantine just went, they just got rid of it.
They got rid of it. And I think what they did was you had to be tested before you left whatever country you were leaving. If you were leaving from the States, you had to be tested 3 days before you left. Then you basically got on a plane and then flew into Tahiti. And it really all started from that one woman on the cruise ship just off Tahiti waters. And so from there, it's just flourished.
So has there been any response? Is there any change in tack?
No, I don't think there is, and that's probably been the biggest problem there. And I know that when I was talking to my friend, he said the biggest issue was mixed messages. Some parents actually started to get quite scared. They didn't really want to send their kids to school, but there was a little bit of confusion about whether people should be sending kids to school, whether schools should be closed. And a couple of weeks ago, people were looking at protesting. Some of the big organisations, they're looking at protests, but people were worried, obviously, a lot of businesses. That protest also meant that businesses would have to shut down for that. So it seems, I'm unsure what they're going to do. Their case numbers aren't going down and things are getting quite bad there.
I think the president is also infected with COVID.
He is. Yeah. Edward French is also has COVID-19. So, I mean, the tourism is their main business there in Tahiti, and I guess the government had to look at what would help their economy, and they decided to open their borders. But of course, obviously with that too, and they've opened their borders to the US, which, as we know, it's just crazy in terms of COVID-19 cases there. So they've opened their borders to the place where there are hardly any restrictions in some places, so that really hasn't helped the situation in Tahiti.
Guam has also had more fatalities, bringing its toll to...
So they've now got nearly 4,000 cases in Guam. So,
and I think the fatalities are up to about 69 now.
Yeah.
And again, the circumstances in which this has happened, how open or otherwise are they?
The governor, actually, Leon Guerrero, is really very proactive on social media, talking about, reinforcing the masks out in public, people sanitising, and if you're sick, stay at home. She's been reinforcing those messages to locals. There was obviously the big case as well when the US carrier was off the Guam actually had docked into Guam, and there were a number of, obviously, people, a number of the crew members on that ship also, which had COVID-19. They did transfer them onto the mainland, and they had been in quarantine, but I was unsure whether that also possibly had led to some of the Guam cases. A lot of the Guam cases also has been repatriation, people from the US as well. Now, the Northern Marianas, which is really closely connected to Guam, they're really concerned, obviously, about the Guam cases. cases, because the cases that have been coming into quarantine into their island has also been from Guam. So, yeah.
We should say, though, many Pacific countries still COVID-free. And, of course, this is the big decision everyone's facing. When do we let some kind of travel happen? When do we let workers move?
Absolutely. And I forgot to actually, last time we had a chat, to say too that Vanuatu is also COVID-free. Yeah. And I say this too because we actually had someone who sent an email from Vanuatu after I was talking to you about it, just to say, yeah, hey, I yeah just want you to, I was listening to you guys just to remind you too, yes, that we're COVID-free, yes, in Vanuatu as well. So that was a good point too.
Yes. Now, what's happening with Fiji police leaving to leave the China-Taiwan stoush to diplomats? What's happening here?
Yeah, so this is, I saw this actually blow up on Twitter from various media organisations. So apparently what happened is that two Chinese embassy officials gate-crashed a Taiwanese trade celebration, and from that too, so what happened apparently, allegations were that they had assaulted some Taiwanese officials. This was the Chinese officials, apparently. And then people were really upset about this. And I saw on social media that people were asking the Fiji government, like, what are you doing? You know, should this not be an investigation?
This was, yes.
And so then there was an investigation. Apparently only went for 24 hours, the investigation by Fiji police. And then they came back and said, look, we're just going to leave the situation to the diplomatic officials. So, but I saw someone had posted on Twitter that it was actually that it was quite a brutal scuffle, and the Taiwanese person had been hurt quite badly. So it would be interesting to see how that goes on too. But I'm surprised too that there was a trade mission from Taiwan. So that's been, I haven't heard anything about that in terms of
diplomatic relationships are interesting. And what is Fiji's position? You're welcome here. Is this something that sounded like it was happening quite legitimately, but reports are,
yes, that China,
some officials took objection to it.
Yes, that Chinese officials obviously were quite upset about this and decided to gate crash this event. So it'll be interesting to see whether anything else comes out of it. I know that a lot of people have been upset about it, especially because they've been upset about the Fiji government not actually taking China to task over this. You know, that, it's in their country. China isn't in charge of the Fiji government. They should be the ones actually that are saying to them, hey, this is not on. This is our, you're in our turf, so to speak. So I would be interested to see whether anything further comes out of this.
Have we heard anything from the Fijian government, from its Secretary for Foreign Affairs or other?
I haven't as yet, but yeah. I'd be interested. I wonder too if they're just going to wait for it to die down and hope that it's going to go away.
But in the meantime, the police have said we're not doing any more.
Yes, they're just going to leave it to the officials to sort out.
It's quite extraordinary stuff. Moira, thank you very much as always. Moira Tulaipa-Taylor is Pacific correspondent and RNZ's Pacific team leader. We really appreciate your time.